Bava Kama, Perek Tes, Mishnah Tes, 9-9, and the Mishnah continues to discuss this obligation of returning the lost object, plus the Chomesh, in order to get a Kapara and bring that Asham Gzelos if one swore falsely. And the case here is when one stole from his own father. So the Mishnah says, Hagozel es aviv, if one stole money from his own father. We have a guy here, he stole, you know, these four pieces of wood from his father. The nish below, the father calls him out and says, hey, where's my four pieces of wood? And the son says, I don't have it. The father says, swear to me. He says, yes, amen, I swear, I don't have it. And really, he was lying. And he did have those four pieces of wood, which he stole. And then prior to the son doing tshuva and being able to return those four pieces of wood, as you need to do, plus adding a fifth piece of wood, vames, the father dies. So the question is now, what does the son do to fulfill this heshavista gazela, to get this stolen item out of his possession so that he can, you know, tick the box and be able to bring his asham and get a kapara? So says the Mishnah, Hareza Mishalom Karen v'chomesh, he should pay the Karen, those four pieces of wood, plus the chomesh, plus the fifth piece of wood, levanav ole echav, to the father's other sons, and if there are no other sons, to the father's brother or brothers. Meaning, this son who was the thief is actually an heir. So this wood that he stole now has come to him, or partially belongs to him through Yerusha, no stopping that. But since he has to get out of his possession, he should give it to like the next closest person, if you will, which is his brothers, who the Mishnah refers to as Banav, his father's sons, or half-brothers, whatever they are. And if there's no one to give it to in terms of his generation, so then Le'echav, even though he's the only inheritor, the next, you know, would-be inheritor, if he wouldn't be around, would be his uncle, his father's brother. Therefore, he should give it to him, and that would be at least getting it out of his possession. Tosos doesn't like that. I should speak out, because Tosos, it's a little strange, right? Why in the world should, like, his uncle get ahead of anybody else if the uncle's not really an heir? He's the heir. So therefore, Tosos learns, once he's inherited it, he's inherited it, just he has to pass it on to somebody else. So when the reference of when it says his sons or his brothers, it means the thief's sons or the thief's brothers. So in other words, like his heirs, if you will. So that's more logical, Tosos thinks, of who should get it. But the point here is that the thief has to get it out of his possession before he can get his kapara. That being the case, if there's no one to give it to, there's no one to find to give it to, let's say, for example, he has no brothers, he has no uncles, he knows whatever the story is, then he could actually give it to tzedakah. That's what he should do. And when he gives it to tzedakah, he should just say, listen, tzedakah, you know, Mr. Gabbai tzedakah, you should know this is actually stolen. Zegezel Abba, I stole this from my father. And that way he can get his kapara. And in fact, the Rambam learns, as we'll see a little later on, that's explicitly what the Mishnah says. I'll show you that in a moment. Okay, now, the next part of the Mishnah says, oh, sorry, and all that is predicated, says the Bar Tanura, and he's going based on the Rambam, that the thing that was stolen still exists as it was. So he stole four pieces of wood, and he has those four pieces of wood. If the four pieces of wood, meanwhile, have been converted into a table, so now the thief has been kohen to the table, to the shinui, and therefore it's not asher gazal, it's no longer in the state that he stole it, and there's no obligation to return it whatsoever, actually. So this is not a wash, not relevant anymore. The point is moot, says the Rambam, and that's what the Bar Tanura learns. The Gra says that the Rosh and Rashi differ on that, and they say no. In fact, even if the stolen object has been converted to something else, no longer here, whatever the case is, still the value must be returned to the victim or the victim's heirs, as I said before, and that way the thief, the son, is not benefiting, so he can now get it out of his possession and ultimately be able to get a kapara, bring his asham, etc. Okay, now the Mishnah continues and says, "Vim eino rotze o she'ein lo." Says the Mishnah, if he wants to get a kapara, he wants to do tshuva. Let's say he's even really contrite; he really would never steal from his father or anybody else ever again. Let's say. But the problem is, he just doesn't want to, you know, it was $1 million, and now he doesn't want to lose $1 million. That would be his through Yerusha, or that's the inner road, say, he doesn't want to lose the money. Or, Osha Einlo, he hasn't got, according to the Bar Tanura, he hasn't got the resources that would allow him to forego that inheritance. In other words, you know, there's all the money he has in the world, and that's what he's going to use to feed his wife and kids. If he would forego that money or give it back to, like, his uncle or something, he'd be starving. His responsibility to his wife and children, can't do that. And therefore, the Mishnah is going to essentially give a loophole, a halachic loophole, by which essentially he can not have the actual stolen item in his possession anymore, but he can still essentially get the financial benefit of it. So let's just say that what he stole was worth whatever it is, you know, $10,000, and it's a, I don't know what, it's a Fabergé egg. I don't know what, makes a difference. So the point is that he can't accept that fancy thing that is worth $10,000. Instead, he should lova, he should just borrow money from somebody else, the bank, whatever it is, and say, listen, bank, there's this fancy Fabergé egg that's worth $10,000 you can collect for yourself. You should just, go to my brother who's got my inheritance and collect it from him. The point is, he never takes possession of it, or he gives it back, so he's not inheriting it. Even though he's not really intending to give it away, he's intending to sort of keep it economically. He physically takes it out of his possession. He's not selling it. Instead, it's like being repossessed by the lender. So he's love. He borrows money against that collateral. Uvale chov ban benifram. And then the creditors who loaned him the money will like essentially foreclose on that collateral and take that stolen object for themselves. That way, effectively, it gets out of his possession. He doesn't keep it. He's not selling it. Etc., but he is essentially getting the economic benefit because he borrowed money against it. It's a loophole. It's definitely not the way to do it. L'chachila, it's not the mitzvah in a muvchar, but it does work. And so that's if a person is not up to giving it as mitzvah in a muvchar, this is a plan B for him. It's better, a lot better than nothing, because he removed it from his possession and he was contrite and he, let's say, brought his ashim, etc., whatever the story is. The Rambam learns, by the way, as I said before, that the Rambam essentially says, listen, the difference between Eino Rotza and She'ein Lo, he doesn't want to or he can't, really is kind of the same thing, right? Just how badly does he not want to forego the money. So therefore, the Rambam learns either Eino Rotza means he doesn't want to or he can't, that's like together, he doesn't want to give up the money. O She'ein Lo means that's the case where he has no one to give it to, as I explained before, in which case he can give it to the Gabbai Tzedak, whatever it is, the charity collector, as long as he just declares this was something I stole from my father, and that's fine. And then he is Yotzi, his obligation to get out of his possession.